Lord, we thank you for these minutes together. And use this time to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Pastor Steve mentioned that we are somehow with heavy hearts. I think we are, because we have seen recently evil in the streets, the mass killing in Texas at a school, Buffalo, New York, a man going to brunch on the train in New York City, murdered. And we see evil. So it's an opportunity for me to say a few things that may help us understand the world that we live in. So I do it with a light heart, with thanksgiving that we understand something about the world. At the same time, identifying with people who are in pain tonight because of losing a child or a loved one. And of course, all of this work of evil that has happened through history has a reason. So I want to put three words on the screen here: God, the word Satan, and then the word man. We could put here the word David, as I want to use him as an example. God is almighty. God is not evil. Everything about God is perfect. He has no pleasure in evil. He never designed for us to sin. He did give man freedom to choose, and this is amazing, unbelievable element of life for us, that I can make choices and they have consequences. Like the NFL football player, the quarterback who was killed on the highway in Florida because he was drunk. What top draft choice for quarterback, I think was from Pittsburgh, Mark killed that night when he was drunk. He made choices, and they have consequences. Man, and who is man? And God's ways, how does God work? I like this verse, Job 33:14. He does not give account of any of his ways. God does as he pleases, as being sovereign. God is wise also. But God cannot do evil. He allows for evil, and he allows for man to make choices, like in the Garden of Eden, choosing to sin. And yet God, the angels fell without any salvation. Man has fallen, but he has salvation if he chooses, as God elects and does his work. Draws them to himself. So man has a freedom and God has the sovereignty. Amazing. We are living in a world where we see a lot of issues of interest, whether they are climatic, like weather changes, tornadoes that rip through the middle of our country, taking people into the air and throwing them in the woods somewhere dead. Natural catastrophe. We see our economic situation and our leadership. We see men making decisions for all of us that are being made on very high levels that affects our lives. We see bad governments in parts of the world where people are murdered and tortured for different reasons. There is evil. We kill babies that are full-term babies in the womb of a mother without even blinking an eye, and even sell body parts. Wow, what kind of world are we living in? And how do we process this and think about it? So, one theologian made a very interesting point about these three. I'm breaking it down. But he said, in the story of Macbeth, William Shakespeare wrote the play, and Macbeth killed or murdered King Duncan. Macbeth killed King Duncan in the play Macbeth. Who killed King Duncan? Macbeth. But wait a minute. William Shakespeare wrote the play. Okay. Who killed King Duncan? William Shakespeare wrote the play. And in the play, he had Macbeth murder the king. Who is behind the story? God. God is behind the story called life. But God doesn't do evil. But he has allowed for evil to be here. He has allowed for the devil to roam about seeking whom he may devour. And he told us that the devil is real. And he can seek, he can destroy, he can tempt, he can murder. The devil can do that. But wait, isn't God good? God is good, but he made the universe a certain way, and he gave us this world that we are living in. In the same way, William Shakespeare wrote a play, and he's responsible for Macbeth murdering the king in the play. But in the play, he's not the one making the decision. Macbeth is making the decision. God is not making the decision for evil men to be evil men. He's actually saying the opposite. He's actually saying, I am God. I made the world so it would be good, one day be perfect, without sin, without death, without evil. But you are living in an evil age. You are living in a world that is evil. What are you going to do about it? That's amazing. We are living in a world where evil is here, and how am I going to live in an evil world? How do I process this world that I live in? Are you angry with God? Job was. And Job didn't have any idea. By the way, at the end of the story of Job, God never said to Job that it was the devil that destroyed your family. God never said that to him. Because really, the ultimate issue isn't for me to understand the mechanics of how everything operates, because he gives no account of his ways. The issue for me is to be understanding who he is, understanding his nature, understanding the spirit of God, the mind of God, the ways of God, to be close to God. Do you know what has happened with the murder in Texas? I am sure in some people's hearts they're angry with God about it. But what do they know about God? Who do they know God is? What do they know? They live in emotional reaction. And to be honest, I could understand how some Christians are also jumping in and joining in the chorus about how wrong things are in this world and blaming God for those things. They're blaming God for things they don't understand. The upshot of the message tonight, I think, if we could understand it, it is that I must go with God and get deep with God and not be a fool. Not join in on the chorus and even in my heart. And by the way, this is a big temptation for us. And when we don't understand things, that we would be giving a place to the devil. Giving him a place. Let's write that in here. Giving a place to the devil. This is Ephesians chapter 4. Give no place to him. So how does that work? Let's turn to David in, we're in 2 Timothy 3, aren't we? I'll make a couple of preliminary points as you follow this with me. Chapter 3, 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. There are men that are 50 years old, 40 years old, and they don't get better. They get worse. And they lie and they keep lying. And it doesn't get better, it gets worse. And that's a very interesting thing to think about. Could be 20 years old, could be 16 years old. And I can just get into it. And I'm just being deceitful. I am lying, and it just becomes a way of life for me. And I do it my whole life. And I don't get out of it. I am not born again. I'm not humble. I'm not redeemed. I'm not spirit-filled. I'm not enlightened. I'm not saved. And I might be running things. I might be in control. I might have a lot of influence over a lot of people. I might have influence over a whole country. I could just keep going, deceiving and being deceived as a way of life. Yes, that's the way it can go. I know that it's easy when we are young to be naive and have some idealistic mindset about the world I live in, but it's very good for us to understand what the scripture. The Bible will do a lot of good for you. If you memorize the Bible, if you meditate on the Bible, it'll continue to speak to you your whole life. It never gets old. It gets deeper and deeper. It's not wrong. The Spirit will teach you. And so we're talking about something that is in our face, in our country, and it's everybody talking and thinking about these things and so on. And I want to help you think about it and process it. Look at verse 13 with me. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They do not get liberated. They do not have joy. They are being deceived. They are misled. They're going to be shamed. That's why this woke culture, I just anticipate its collapse. And it's a shame to believe in those lies, embrace them, take away our freedom, our liberty to have another opinion, to disagree with them. I disagree with it. I disagree. I agree. Racism is sinful. racism. I'm against racism, of course. But all of the transgender hormones, hormone blockers are illegal in Finland and Sweden. They know more than we do. They're smarter than we are. That's just shameful. People should go to prison for those kind of things. Grooming children to be homosexuals in kindergarten, first, second grade, they should go to jail, those people. Every teacher, every administrator, every politician, that's evil. But what? Look at the verse again. It says, but they will be deceived, and they will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But we've heard recently that monkeypox, as you hear in the news, is a sexually transmitted disease amongst homosexuals. All right, so that we don't have a problem. That's not going to be a COVID-19 pandemic. That's not the same thing. It's a different thing. That's a STD. Oh, do you think you can mock God? Can we mock God? No. We fear God. We respect God. We understand how things can go sideways, how wrong the world can be. We understand God knows how what he's doing. He knows how to do it. And I'm just stirred up about it and want to bring out some things about the world we're living in. So now go to Ephesians 4 and this verse 27, neither give place to the devil. So learn to deny yourself and not give him a place. That's quite tricky sometimes. I need God's help all the time that I will not be giving him a place. I am not having him around me. You resist him and he flees from you. Now, these people that are just filling their minds and hearts with video games, murdering people, Hollywood movies, violence and all this stuff, also kids that have problems and they're not being counseled, helpfully counseled, guided, led, churches, church life. Where is the church life? It has a tremendous effect on people. What I hear, what goes in my heart, what I believe, my worship of God is powerful. It's very powerful. And you are not giving him, the devil, a place. We'll see that in a second. Now, go to David, and it's 1 Chronicles 24. Verse 1, is it? No. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel 24. Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. 2 Samuel 24, right? Yeah, 2 Samuel 24. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So God was angry with Israel. We could say, God is angry. I'm doing this just for the exercise. God is angry with the United States. And his anger is kindled against the United States of America, let's say. Well, what's he going to do? He's going to have David number Israel. And we would say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Yeah. And in the text, we'll see it was a sin. David was moved by, and now go to First Chronicles 24. So there's 1 Samuel 24. No, 2 Samuel 24. First Chronicles 24. And we get the inside scoop on that. And it is the Lord used the devil. Verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, I'm in 29. Is it 21? Oh, boy. I know we on the page. There we go. Thank you so much. Very good. First Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So these three words, God is against Israel. God uses Satan to tempt David, and David sins and gives place to the devil. Then the judgment of God came on Israel because of David's sin. How do we understand that? It just shows me there are these three. Let me redo it here. It shows me God is almighty. God can be unhappy with us. God can use Satan to do evil. Mm-hmm. God can use Satan to tempt me. He can tempt me. Satan can tempt me. Go number Israel. David, you are a great man. You are a mighty man. You are a great king. Go number. Find out how many people you have. And was it in the army or was it in the whole nation? Go find out how many people you have. And it says in the text that David said, I have sinned. So we have God using Satan to have David tempt. He's tempted, but God cannot tempt anyone. But God can use the devil or use evil in the world to direct, to speak, just like it's happening today all over our world. It's happening here. Can anybody deny it? That the evil is present. But the believer has an amazing privilege, and that is that he can overcome the devil in Revelation 20. And the devil is working and doing his work, accusing the brethren night and day. And we overcome him by the word of the testimony, the word of the testimony of Christ, the blood of the Lamb, and we love not our lives unto the death. We're willing to lose our lives. We have God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We overcome evil. We're not denying it. And nor are we living here saying, you know, oh, how could that ever happen? Are you kidding? It's happening all the time, every day, all around us. This is an evil world. And another thing about our understanding of this is that, and this is a very important thing, we understand the sin nature of man. You know, how could that evil happen? What, you wouldn't kill a child in a school, but you would lie to your wife and tell her that you're going out with the guys when you're going with a woman who is not your wife. You are a liar. If I have broken the law on one point, I am guilty of all. I am a sinner. I have a sin nature. And it's us that God has chosen to live in this evil world, to bear witness and manifest the living God in a world that is sinful and is actually governed in many ways by the force and the power of Satan, the prince of the air, the god of this world. Is this encouraging? No, it's sobering. It's sobering, and the next part of it, maybe, I just hope this will be edifying, because it's true. And turn to Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. You know what the deception is? It's like Psalm 50. The psalmist said, you lie and you also commit adultery, and then there's no bad effect, and you say God doesn't care. It doesn't matter. I can go on in my lying and my cheating, and it doesn't matter. God is the same as I am. God is like me. He's the same as I am. And Christ says, no, he isn't the same. He is very different from you. His thoughts are different and his ways are different. He's not like you. You are deceived. Look at verse 7. Be not deceived. How could you be deceived? Because I think God is like me. He lies like me. He cheats like me. He lusts like me. He doesn't care. He's far away. He doesn't care. He made us this way. This is our nature. It's natural to be a sinner, or whatever you would call it. This is the way it is. And God is saying, oh, no, you have no idea how wrong you are. You have no idea. You don't have a clue how I am totally different from you. I am a holy God. I am an awesome God. I am a real God. I am a satisfying God. I am God Almighty. And fear me. And confess your sin and repent. And turn to me. I will heal you. I will satisfy you. I will anoint you. I will bless you. I am God. Okay. So, be not deceived. People say the name God, but what do they know about God? They know nothing about God. They have no sense of the holiness of God. They have no sense of like what sin is. They have no sense of judgment. My meditation recently has been about the white throne judgment, and I was thinking about the white throne judgment, and it says everyone from the ocean, from the ground, their bodies will come up and they will stand before God at the white throne judgment, and the books will be opened and they'll be judged out of those books. And it says the small and the great will be there. And I was thinking of presidents of the United States. I was thinking of popes. I was thinking of preachers. I'm thinking of people that say they are Christian. I'm thinking of athletes. I'm thinking of the greatest athletes, the greatest scientists, the greatest writers, the greatest people in history. It means nothing. Those were all gifts and talents for this life. It means nothing. Be not deceived. You are deceived. You are lost. You are without Christ. You are without God. You have no hope. You have no covenant. You have no promise. You are deceived. You live in this world. Now, here's another interesting thing. Why was there a murder or murder, mass murder in Texas? What do you think God is saying? If every one of those children go to heaven, and he's saying something to us. This world is evil, but it's also very good. Very good. I gave you 2 years, 4 years with your child. I gave you 5 years with your child. and now your child is gone. Are you ready to meet me? Is your community turning to me? Does your community recognize what evil is? And are you turning to me in humility? And you know what is interesting? In our country, we hear people say, you know, how could this happen? And then the politicians are all saying they don't ever talk about God and humility. Abraham Lincoln did many times. Many times presidents did. Many times Franklin Roosevelt prayed over the radio to the whole nation at the end of his talks in those 1930s radio talks, chats, fireside chats. You have a responsibility to lead the nation in the fear of God and before God. But okay, so that's that. But then what about the next other leaders? What about university presidents? What about school team? What about hospitals? What about police departments? Are they ever talking about God and that we should turn to God and that we should fear God and not be afraid of people that disagree with you or me? Are you afraid? The theme of our convention in June is take courage. Take courage. We're not afraid. We fear God instead of men. We fear God. Oh, don't fear him who can kill your body, but fear him who can take body and soul and cast it into hell. Fear God. These are the end times. Fear God. This is what we need to hear and think about. Let's finish the verse 10:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's a joke. Oh, is it a joke? Is it a joke? No. No. If we woke up this morning, it was the grace of God. If we're alive tonight, it's the grace of God. You walk carefully before God. You don't live like the world. They don't care. They swear. They use the name of God. They curse God. They talk like fools. They're foolish in their language and in their understanding. They are imbeciles. They are morons. They are fools. Are you one of those? I don't want to be like a fool on the road to hell, living like hell, and arrogant as anything, drunk, walking down 95, get hit by a car, run over by a truck. My whole life is destroyed. Wait, I want to be a fool and take a drug and overdose on some drug that's sold by some derelict who's motivated by money and ego and blindness. It's like it's not a joke. That's how I look at life. And I know that's how you do too. If you have some secret sin in your life, deal with it. God is not mocked. We can get away with it, maybe. Maybe. I got a great story on that. Follow it with me. Nebuchadnezzar was arrogant like a peacock. He was an arrogant tyrant. His world was his world. He was arrogant as anything. He was, look at all of this is because of me. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to have you eat grass. Your fingernails are going to grow like claws. Your hair is going to be like feathers. The dew is going to be on you. You're going to live in the woods. You're going to go out there and live like an animal. I'm going to humble you. Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. And he came to him after whatever, 7 units. Wasn't it 7, right? 7 units. I'm not sure how it goes in the Hebrew, I think it was 7 units. I don't know if it's 7 months or 7 years, but it was a good period of time to humble that guy. And he goes, it's God that's responsible for everything. It's God, and God restored him. Now comes his, was it his, he was defeated by the Persians, the Persian king, Belshazzar. He is the same way, arrogant as anything. Handwriting on the wall, it's over. There wasn't any room for repentance. Tonight, your life is required of you. You're done. He was murdered that night. Do you know what it means to me? If you were in a high school party and you almost died in that party, in a car accident or falling out of a window or drowning in a lake, and you didn't die, or you were shot and a bullet is in your body tonight still, and God saved your life, then you should be very thankful for that, because some don't make it. Some drown, some are flown medevaced and they die in the helicopter, some are shot and killed, and some do not make it. If you made it, you and I should be on our face saying, thank you, Lord. I appreciate it. I fear you. You are not mocked. And every time God has some signal to say to the United States of America, whether it's a tornado or a mass shooting, then you don't bring your faith into question and say, I don't believe in God anymore, like a fool. But you say, no, I got to process this. I'm not giving place to the devil. I'm learning. I don't like what happened. It hurts me a lot. A relative died, or a terrible thing happened, or I'm upset about something. It's okay. You get a grip. You'll be okay. But don't give the devil a place. Because there's something deeper going on. You have free will. You can make choices. You can believe God when the world doesn't. You can trust him when you're on a cross and say, my God, you know, Jesus always said, my Father, until he was on the cross. And what did he say? He said, my God. Always he said, my Father. Pray to the Father. He said it all the time. But on the cross, he said, my God. That was the lowest point. But he didn't doubt him. He didn't doubt him. He knew. He believed him. He overcame the devil. He overcame the devil in his faith. He died in faith. He overcame the devil. That's the thing that the devil can't stand about us, that we have a victory over him. And whatever he does in this world, as evil as it may be and as painful and sad that it may be, it will not turn us away from the belief that our God is a good God, a wise God, a powerful God, a loving God. And we are here being tested. 3 days later, Jesus comes out of the tomb. Yes, I knew this would happen. Yes, I have overcome death and the devil. Yes, I am going to a throne at the right hand of my Father forever and ever. And I'm bringing these people with me. While we are in this world, let us learn how to live. Let's read it and we'll finish verse 7. It says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Be careful what you sow. I have a short list. You may sow lust. It may bring disease in your body. You may sow idolatry. And it will lead you to being cruel and degrading in practices. By the way, all this sexual stuff that's talked about, and even in textbooks, are you kidding me? You are weird, perverted people. Sins of anger, murders, wars, strifes, misery. Sins of appetite, drunkenness, obesity, delirium, all of these things I can sow. I can sow to with my body. I can sow addictions. I can sow with my psychology, my temper, my anger. I can sow with idolatry. I can sow, the first one was lust. I can do it. I can sow unbelief. Live in your unbelief for a while, and you know what it should do? Wake you up. It's not fun to live in unbelief. It's better to live in faith. It's better. I want to sow to the Spirit. So go to the next verse, 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What do we sow in the Spirit? We are sowing an attitude toward God. You know, I have a sauna in my garage, and it's a quiet place for me. In the morning, early morning, I can go into that room and just be there without any books or anything, just sit in the sauna by myself talking out loud, because my wife may be sleeping and I don't want to disturb her. So I'm in there and I can just wait on God. And I've enjoyed it the last mornings and just being quiet before. Based on the Sunday night message, the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. That message stirred my heart to like just think of the value of worshiping God and being quiet and worshiping God and it affecting our lives. So I say to God, with our busy schedules, what do you want me to do today? And so the Lord says, Jeff Harrington. So I call him up today to go to lunch with him tomorrow, and he's right over here. But the Lord gives me a name, and then I have another, maybe another name. I'm not saying God is saying this. I'm just saying, what should you want me to do today? And I need to write some. I need to make some decisions. I think of it ahead of time, how I would decide about something. Maybe I don't know about that. I can't make any. I think about it, but I have it in prayer. I believe, listen to me carefully, I believe God is with us, and he's helping us. And I don't believe I could ever do this job. I don't think any pastor can do that do the job. But I can't. I just know that. But I know also that if the Lord, if we sow to the Spirit, then we will reap from the Spirit. If we sow to faith, even in dark hours, maybe that's a very good time to trust God and draw near to God and sow to the Spirit. I believe every time we gather here as an assembly, we're sowing to the Spirit. And we're reaping from the Spirit. I believe when I say in my heart good things and forgive people, and I forgive them, maybe I have a problem, but I am able to forgive them, I believe we're sowing to the Spirit, and we reap the Spirit. I believe it's really true. Yeah. So, we have faith towards God. We have faith towards men. We have faith towards ourselves. Sow to the Spirit regarding yourself. You know, to yourself, not a fleshly sowing, tearing yourself down, but sow to the Spirit regarding yourself. I can do it. We are able. I believe that. I am sowing to the Spirit. Loving ourselves, speaking often to ourselves with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, we're sowing to the Spirit. Now, lastly, do you think the problems we have in our country, whether it is the climate or the murder or the violence or the politics or the economics and maybe what's going to come ahead, do you think all of that is part of God saying, I want my light to shine. I want my people to have answers. I want my people to sow to the Spirit. I want my people to have a message ready to be a counselor, to love, to say, I understand. Come be with me at my church. There's a message there. Do you think that the brighter the, how's it go, the darker the night, the what? The brighter the light shines. Remember Barbara Stevens singing that? The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. She had a more feminine voice. And that was Pastor Stevens' first wife. Boy, she was a sweet woman. And she would sing that song. The darker the night, the brighter the light shines. Do you think that all of this is the way God operates? And that is for us to learn him and know him and trust him. Give no place to the devil, and so to the Spirit, and see the work of God. Our prayer is revival. Our prayer is that people that are confused about their identity will find their new identity in Christ. Our prayer is that people that are alone will find God's family. Our prayer is that people that have addictions will get released from them. Our prayer is that people that are troubled and confused and all of that stuff will find a whole new way of thinking that comes from Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God to us. That's our prayer. Amen. How about we close the prayer two ways. First, an invitation. Anyone listening, come to Jesus tonight. He has so much for you. Tonight we talked a lot about the work of evil, but we also talked a lot about the loving God who came to die for us, to save us from our sin and give us eternal life. While we're here for a short time on the earth, we want to glorify you, God, and be here for the right reason and learn how to live and how to think. Someone listening, maybe you got a lot of big questions. Come to Jesus. He will answer you. Some of them he will answer. Some of them he may not. That's his business and your humility before him. Trust him. God has spoken to your heart tonight. Put your trust in Jesus personally. The Spirit will fill you. Walk in the Spirit. Confess any known sin. Walk in the light. Walk in the Spirit. He will fill you and guide you. In Jesus' name, amen.